This interview is for information only and should not be considered as investment advice or a recommendation to buy shares in the company featured. Welcome to this Stockbox interview. Hello and welcome back to the Research Talks with Alan Green on Stockbox. Alan, how are you doing?
Hello, Mark. I'm very good, thanks. And once again, after all the rain, it's a fantastic sunny day. And I've taken the dog out for a walk already. And it's, as they said in the old Fast Show series, scorchio.
Right. I'm not familiar with that one, but sounds fun.
Scorchio.
Scorchio, yeah. Okay.
I think it was a send up of a Spanish weather forecaster.
Right.
Where he just okay. Points to areas on the map and says, here, here, and here, scorchio.
Okay. Well, that's good. So I'm doing okay. I'm in Bonnie, Scotland this week at the Stockbox offices, just catching up with everyone. And it's nice to see some hills. I'm not used to seeing hills and mountains over in the Netherlands. It's rather flat over there. So, a refreshing change. But today you're going to be talking to us about Carillion and tertiary minerals. So which one would you like to take first, Alan?
Well, should we start with Carillion Diamonds?
Sure.
Okay. Carillion Diamonds, London-listed company, the epic code is KDR. It's currently got a market cap of just 2.5 million, with shares trading at 4.75p. Shares were traded at just under 7p year high and at 2p as well. So Carillion are a diamond exploration and development company focused on Finland, and they're run by a team, management team, with whom we're very familiar. Of course, they are the same management team as Conroy Gold. The chief executive, of course, is Professor Richard Conroy. That's Conroy Petroleum Natural Resources PLC. He's an emeritus professor of physiology. And also on the board is Maureen Jones, who's the company secretary at Conroy Gold and is also on the board of Carillion Diamonds. In addition, we have Brendan McMorrow as a non-exec on the board, Harold Bird also, and an experienced team on the ground in Finland. So that's the team behind the company. Going to talk about kimberlite, and kimberlite is it's an igneous rock that contains often contains diamond, but I didn't realize this. It was named after the a diamond rush in South Africa in the late 19th century, at a town called Kimberley in South Africa, where an 83.5 carat diamond was discovered, called the Star of Africa, and basically triggered a gold rush. So, of course, kimberlites are igneous rocks, which are formed through the cooling and solidification of magma and lava. And of course, the other two, for the geologists out there, will be the sedimentary and metamorphic rocks. But we don't need to go into those today. So Carillion Diamonds have two primary regions in Switzerland. There's a craton which straddles Finland and Russia and also overlaps into Sweden, called the Carillion Craton, hence the name of the company. And it's larger than the diamond-rich Canadian Slave Craton, and within Russia, not too far from where the Carillion Diamonds sites are based in Finland, you have the Lomonosso and the Grib Pipe diamond discoveries, which are world-class discoveries, and the key projects operated by Carillion in Finland share very similar geology, and as we're going to find out, they have considerable amounts of deposits in those areas. The first one is Latajoki, the Latajoki diamond deposit, which is northeast of Helsinki, and when it comes on stream as a diamond mine, for which a mining permit has been submitted and is awaited, it will be the first diamond mine in Europe outside of Russia. So that in itself will be a landmark a moment for the company and for the mining industry as a whole. At Letjoki, a preliminary economic assessment was completed by Karelian Diamonds based on data and reports from previous operations. And as I've covered and mentioned on many occasions, a lot of the older sites and earlier data is being reprocessed by using modern mining techniques, data mining and other techniques to ascertain the value of an asset in the ground that may previously have been ignored. And certainly the up-to-date PEA that was completed concluded both positive technical and financial outcomes for Letjoki. The mine or the region itself contains a significant percentage of pink diamonds, and of course these are by far the most profitable diamonds for diamond mines to sell. An example, of course, is the Argyle mine in Australia, where the production of pink diamonds there represents just 5% of the overall production, but represents 50% of the revenue from there. So the numbers that that have been put together from the PEA indicates a 2.11 million carats with a value in the ground currently of some $211 million. The outcome recommends that mining is the correct way forward, estimated a 9-year mine life, and payback on the cost of the cost of putting the mine in place within year two, giving an internal rate of return of 55%. Currently, the asset as it stands has a net present value of $39 million. So that in itself is a huge uplift, considering that a mining permit is already in place or has been applied for, versus the current market cap of just two and a half million sterling. Mm. We also have south of the main Letjoki the district, the kimberlite boulders have been discovered further south, and the company has put in an exploration permit to look at these boulders in more detail going forward. So as you can see, there's a picture building up here of a huge asset at Letjoki by itself. We then travel further north in eastern Finland, and we get close to the Russian border. Remember we said about the Craton overlapping both countries. We come to the Kumo deposit, which is a green diamond discovery. The research and work that's been undertaken on the ground there has revealed a previously unknown kimberlite body and 20 further kimberlite anomalies across the region. And those regions include the Setapira body, which is a huge area at some just under 7 hectares, the largest area in Finland. A green diamond has been discovered there. The reason green diamonds are so valuable is that they're very rare. A research group in Canada that undertook or analysed 50,000 samples provided to them recovered less than 10 green diamonds from 50,000 samples. So you get an idea of how rare these things are. We also have the Rehevara deposit, which is also another kimberlite body. Prospective for diamonds, that's a 350 square meter area with a 2 meter width, and it's open source. Exploration applications have been submitted also for Lipira and Sala, which are within the district. So two key projects there, which I think, you know, particularly Letjoki itself, with that data, with the net present value of $39 million itself, gives or should give a huge uplift to the share price, given that we're currently trading at 4.75p with a market cap of just 2.5 million. Some very good progress over the past 6 weeks. A further research update from Letjoki revealed that some of the boulders there had revealed mantle garnet minerals with red garnets and limonites. And there is further evidence of undiscovered potentially diamondiferous kimberlite in Letjoki that has, as I say, previously undiscovered. There was a broker note put out on the company by Brandon Hill also last month, So an analyst undertook some work, and I'll just give you the name of the analyst if I can bring this up. It was a gentleman called Peter Rose, who is who's well known in his field, provided some detailed overview, said there was great potential for further discoveries. And there were 20 regional kimberlite anomalies in the Kumo field, which could be, which he believes could be an emerging world-class kimberlite province. So really right at the start here, but, you know, not forgetting that within in this craton, you've got two huge world-class diamond mines, at Lomonosov and Grib Pipe in Russia. So it's reasonable to assume that with shared geology in the region and the discoveries and the diamonds that have already been extracted from the area to date, there's a huge amount of upside potential on offer here in the not-too-distant future. Mm-hmm. The most recent event is that at the end of May, the company raised a further 600,000. It actually raised 520,000, which goes straight into drilling work and further exploration at Latajoki. And an 80,000 loan from the company was converted into shares. And all of that took place at 4.5p, resulting in the issue of a further 13 million shares. But there's a very exciting year in prospect. There's very strong news flow from Karelian Diamonds. And I think, you know, from here, given the, you know, the laughably low market cap compared to the NPV of that asset, we're going to see some significant developments in the coming months and a corresponding rise in the share price to boot.
Mm. So you've got pink diamonds and green diamonds. Do you know what they are, Alan?
Pink diamonds and green diamonds. Pink diamonds are used in jewellery, of course. Green diamonds are also used in jewellery. The only difference is that green diamonds have been exposed to radiation during their formation process millions, if not billions of years ago, and the green hue in the diamonds is the radiation, which is fascinating. So It might glow in the dark.
Might glow in the dark. There we go. And you said the NPV was pretty high. Why on earth do you think this is the market cap is so low? And also, Karelian, I haven't seen much chatter about it. This is really the first time I'm exploring this company, which is with you. Do you think, has it not been very active, or are they just not really recognised by the market at the moment? What is it you think that's just, you know, that needs to happen to bring some attention to it and get some valuation there?
I think the primary reason, Mark, is that it's we're awaiting the mining permit. So they've done the exploration, They've undertaken the work. The mining permit there is awaited. Once they receive that, that NPV figure should trigger a significant rise in the share price. I would expect to, You know, get at least some way towards that sort of level. Mm. And then of course, if the mining permit is accepted and they continue, then you've got a value in the ground currently estimated at $211 million. But of course, that's not including these additional kimberlite boulders that they're discovering, because the more they explore, the more they find. So they find unknown sources, and it's, you know, this craton's huge, so it could literally just keep going. So they might find they might currently think that the kimberlite rocks are in one area of the licensed territory, and as they work over it, they may find it extends over the whole of the territory. We just don't know, and that causes it. But it just makes it. Means this company is at a very exciting juncture, and it's a sort of investment that you just want to pick up and maybe tuck away. But you probably won't need to tuck it away for too long, because I think we're going to see some real action on this. And you know, at 2.5 million market cap, you're just paying for the value of the licenses and you know, the value of the entity. Nothing more than that.
Mm, yeah, effectively. Okay, so the catalyst maybe is that mining plan permit.
Mining permit. Once that's in place, then I think we'll see this company really take some steps forward.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. So, moving on, tertiary minerals.
Tertiary minerals, indeed. We have spoken, of course, about tertiary minerals on numerous occasions. So I'm just going to give a quick recap of the history of the company. We've been working with tertiary for many years. Currently, the company has a market cap of just on 4 million sterling. We've seen the shares currently trade on the year high of 0.62p and a low of just under 0.2p, currently trading at 0.34p. And we had a slight rise at the end of this week for reasons I'll come on to in a second. But with the assets, this company owns, again, I am, you know, like Carillion Diamonds, I'm astonished that we're still at these levels, because there's a huge amount of value in the company. It's well funded. There's currently in the recent results update, the company said there was 750,000 of funds in the company account at March 31st. And they are using that money for the exploration work they're undertaking in Nevada. In Nevada, there are a series of projects that the company is engaged in. We have firstly the Pyramid Gold and Silver Project, which is in Nevada. It's a lease that's held, it's 100% held by Tertiary. We then have the Paymaster Zinc and Silver Project, also 100% owned by Tertiary. Then in January this year, the recently acquired Brunton Pass Copper Project, also 100% owned. The Mount Tobin Silver Prospect in Nevada, and the Lucky Copper Project, also 100% owned by Tertiary. So these are licenses in a highly productive region. Nevada is the fifth largest gold producer in the world, and it's the number one most desirable mining jurisdiction in the world. And these licenses are situated within the famous Walker Lane Gold Belt. And of course, there you've got Goldfields there with their 4.2 million ounce resource, Comstock with an 8.5 million ounce resource and a 200 million ounce resource of silver, Tonopah with a 1.8 million resource. And the area is situated some 25 miles northwest of Reno in Nevada. So the most recent updates provided by the company, the Pyramid Gold and Silver Project, we were awaiting news on the drilling results and updates. And then on Thursday, the company said it had discovered a wide and thick silver zone at the Pyramid Project. Six trenches have been dug, 360 meters in total. From the 4.45 meter grading, the company had extracted 61 grams per ton of silver. That's 1.78 ounces per ton of silver. And over a 3 meter area in another trench, 260 grams of silver discovered, and that's 7.58 ounces per ton. The company said it was a very exciting discovery. Further drilling and soil sampling were taking place. But regardless, there was already clear evidence of a significant width of silver mineralization in situ. So that's a big step forward for the company. As we go on, we have the Paymaster Zinc and Silver Project. Zinc and silver anomalies defined there are comparable with another mine nearby. So there are similar geological anomalies shared with a nearby mine. The Brunton Pass Copper Project, samples previously collected by the United States Bureau of Mines contain nearly up to 7% copper, and follow-up sampling by Tertiary confirmed widespread copper mineralization, including an 8-foot channel supporting 4.6% copper over a 2.5-meter area. Further work ongoing there. Mount Tobin Silver Project, silver and soil anomalies defined over a strike length of 1,200 meters. The Lucky Copper Project was two zones were identified there with 57 meters grading and some copper discoveries there in the zones. We then come to some of the companies, what I would refer to as legacy assets. And of course, historically, Tertiary was a company engaged with fluorspar, which is a critical mineral. Those are now gone. Their history. But as part of a historical asset legacy, the company has a stake in the Caraselka gold project in Finland, which is currently being drilled by Orion Resources, who of course are part owned by Kinross Gold. The tertiary has a net smelter agreement of 2.2% on all future gold products, and an agreement per ounce of inferred, indicated, or measured resources. And we're going to get some more data. We've had some data already from Orion from this. But added to this, Orion can purchase 50% of the net smelter return for $1 million at any time prior to the commencement of drilling. So that alone really adds a couple of million dollars to the valuation of tertiary. So I've already described the assets or the range of assets they have in Nevada. We've had the result from the Pyramid silver and gold project there announced early this week. So I'm surprised that the valuation of the company is still where it is, given the amount of activity the company is currently undertaking. The two key board members of the company include, of course, Patrick Cheatham, who is well known and regarded in the industry. The company also hired Mike Armitage recently, and Dr. Mike Armitage heads up the SRK Mining Consultancy. He's got over 35 years experience, and he's also the chairman of the Applied Earth Science Division of the Institute of Materials, Minerals and Mining. So again, a very highly regarded gentleman in his field. But the collective total of assets here owned by tertiary and the value that's already been discovered, I think it just makes for a very diverse and broad range of assets and value within the group. And I along with other investors, I'm still very surprised to see the company trading on a 4 million market cap, particularly after the announcement last Thursday. But I know the way Patrick and his team works, and they'll just take it one step at a time. And I've no doubt we'll have some more news in the coming weeks. Just one final addition here. The company has also added a third dimension to its offering with the formation of Luangwa Minerals in Zambia. It's formed a Zambian subsidiary, which it owns 99%, and it's retained a gentleman by the name of Marcel Nally as exploration manager, with a focus on copper in Zambia. Zambia is one of the most prolific copper producers in the world, in the top 10. In 2020, it produced 900,000 tons of copper, and Luangwa Minerals has exposure to a number of interesting projects in copper in the country, and we're going to hear more about that very soon. So all that for a 4 million market cap.
So this recent news then, very significant. Why do you think it's not the market hasn't reacted? Is it the time of year, do you think? Lack of volumes?
I think currently, and this has been said by several sort of well-regarded experts in the field, currently the junior mining sector is undergoing a bit of a lull. I think had this taken place either at the end of last year or early this year, we would have seen the shares possibly leap up and leap up to well over a penny. I think as the scale of the Pyramid asset becomes more visible and we get more news on that, then of course the next is the viability of building a mine to extract that, or maybe some other way of extracting it from the area and then getting it to market. And and I think once we start to hear news about those developments, I expect things to move. But in the meantime, we've got all these other assets, you know, two major copper assets, Paymaster project, the Mount Tobin silver project, and then of course any news from Orion Resources on the Karaselka project in Finland, and of course any new developments now in Zambia with Luangwa Minerals.
Lots going on there. Paymaster, what a great name.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, Paymaster Pyramid. Yeah,
yeah.
That's it. Lucky Copper. It's all good.
Yeah, I always find this time of year that although it can be depressing on the markets, you kind of don't mind as much because obviously the weather's nicer, the days are longer. So while it's boring, perhaps, and not as inspiring on the markets, you can get outside and you know you don't feel as depressed because you've got the nice weather and you can get out and do stuff. But it's also it's a great time. I always think that as well. If you have got some cash kind of, you know, around that you want to invest, these months now, up until kind of September time, are good times to start building positions in these undervalued companies because there's not going to be a lot of volatility and you're going to be able to slowly, you know, scale into them and get a nice position ready for when, you know, the volumes do return. And if you pick the right companies that, you know, have this sort of big catalyst events or significantly undervalued, then, you're doing the right thing.
That's absolutely right, Mark. And I think also, you know, bear in mind what we've spoken about in previous podcasts, looking at the average valuation of an entry-level mining company, that's increased hugely in recent years to about $8 to $10 million. I think we were looking at Lexington Gold before the share price really started to pop higher, and it was valued at about $8 million. But these two companies, I mean, Carillion Diamonds, $2.5 million. I mean, that's, you know, it's incredible, really, that it's still where it is. And I'm sure once investors cotton onto this, then they'll, as you rightly say, it's a good time to scale in now, perhaps while these companies are below the radar and the market hasn't really taken to them. But tertiary minerals, I think, is set for a great second half of the year because there is so much news going to come through.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Alan. That's telling us there about Carillion Diamonds and tertiary minerals. Thank you very much for your time, and we'll catch up again in a week's time.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you for listening to this Stockbox interview. For more information, interviews and videos, visit our website at stockboxmedia.com or give us a follow on Twitter by searching at Stockbox Media.